I assure you, I'm not worthy to follow that. God is good. Amen. What a beautiful morning of singing. Thank you for that. Thank you for being here. Thank you for participating as we use God's instrument to praise our Creator. I'm glad that you've come. I hope that you brought your Bibles. And I don't know that you've ever heard this lesson. I know it's new for me to do a total lesson on it. And I don't know that I've ever heard it done quite the way we're going to do it. And I kind of said something in Bible class. I was not trying to be threatening. In fact, Mitch told me that he has something very important to do about 11:03. I said this is going to take as long as it's going to take. That was not a threat. We should be out of here by 2:30. But this is the kind of thing that all the parts have to be there. We're going to cover, I think, some very, very important things. There's no doubt this is one of the grand themes of Scripture. I mean grand. I mean, this idea is something that, Lord willing, when we get done with this lesson, you will have a new appreciation for the blessings that we have, that God is with us this morning. This lesson is entitled, God Among His People. And if you would, turn to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. And we're going to start with something with which you're familiar. But then the significance of it, we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about God dealing with His people over time and how God deals and dwells with us today in our tabernacle of the body and of the temple of the church. So all that is what we're headed to this morning. At Exodus 13, verse 21, I'm assuming most of you are aware of this idea that God went before the Israelites in a pillar that expressed itself as a pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire at night. But if you're not, here it is from Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. Exodus 13 and verse 21. It reads like this. And the Lord, that is Jehovah, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. Now, when you and I think of that, I think the tendency is to just think of that as a physical cloud. That's God. That's God. How did the people of Israel know they were God's chosen people? Because God was with them in a visible way that they could understand. It wasn't the pillar that led the people of Israel out. It was God that led the people out. And God appeared to them in a way that they could understand. Maybe they didn't fully understand it, clearly, because none of us can understand the nature of God, but they understand. So why do this lesson? Why talk about the presence of God with us today? Well, have you ever wondered, does Jesus care? Have you ever said to yourself, does God even know? God, do you know what I'm going through? Have you ever been so down and so distressed you felt alone? Christian, you are not. God is with you at all times. Do you ever feel separated from God? I think we talked about that in Bible class. There are times when we feel kind of hot and we feel saved and we're rejoicing in the hope that we have. Other times where we kind of feel apart from God, God never leaves us. The great story you've heard so many times about the footsteps in the sand prove that to us. How am I supposed to carry on without God? Well, I'm not. God is with us at all times. God was with the Israelites. His presence dwelt among the people. In fact, and this is maybe not the key verse to understanding it, but I think the key verse to get this across. Look at how important to Moses the presence of God was in Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And what has happened here, there are several times when the people of Israel will sin or do something heroically dumb and sinful. And God will threaten at some point to destroy them and to raise up from Moses a new people. And Moses and God have these back and forth where Moses convinces God not to destroy his people in the wilderness, allowing them to go. And God said something to Moses here about, I will agree to go with you. And I want you to notice Moses' response here. So we're in Exodus 33, verse 14. Exodus 33 and verse 14. So as we read this, notice that this is first God speaking. You see the he there in verse 14? So I'm in verse 14 of chapter 33, and he said that he is God. This is a conversation between Jehovah God and Moses. So God speaks first, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Now the next he to speak is Moses. And he, Moses, said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? What's Moses saying? Moses saying, if God, if you will not go with us, if your presence is not with us, I can't do it. I can't go any further. How am I going to know that I'm yours? Because God dwells with his people. And let me tell you something. It was true of Moses, and it's true of us today. We can't go on without God. We need him every hour. We need his strength and his presence and the comfort of knowing that he is there. The reason that pillar was there was to comfort those Israelites. I am here. I am with you. You can see me day and night. This is the blessing of God's presence with his people. And this is the secret of God appearing above the mercy seat and in the tabernacle and in the types and antitypes of the Old Testament, that we live in reality today as God's people. So Moses says, I won't even go. I won't even attempt to take a step toward the promised land unless you go with us. We're the same way. Turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 40. One of the things you know about the book of Exodus is this. God gives Moses instruction for what is known as the tabernacle of the wilderness or the tent of meeting, right? Most of you, if you don't know this, God, when he brings his people out of Egypt, he speaks to them and gives them the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. And there's this period of time for 40 years, and then before David and Solomon become king, that there's no physical stone house for God. There is no temple of Jehovah as we know it after that. But there is this tent of meeting, this tabernacle that has a holy place and a holiest of holies where the ark dwells and where the presence of God himself dwells. And that's really the important part. So in Exodus chapter 40, what we have is Moses has been given the instructions by God. He has given the instruction for the people. They finally set up the tent. They finally set up this tabernacle. And what occurs? I want you to look at this beautiful, wonderful picture from Exodus chapter 40 and verse 34. So Exodus chapter 40, we'll read verses 34 through 38. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, wherever the cloud was taken up from over the temple, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. When Moses set up the tent, God came and dwelled with his people there. The scripture reading we had this morning from Leviticus chapter 16, God appears above the mercy seat. The Ark of the Covenant was the place where God dwelled with his people. His glory shined. It comforted them. They knew that wherever they went, God went. That's how you get to the promised land. Conscious awareness of the presence of God, knowing that he is with you, knowing that he will fight your battles, knowing that he will strengthen you, knowing that he will give you rest. That rest is still there for us today, for the people with whom God dwells. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 10, here the tent of meeting is replaced by the physical stone temple built by Solomon. And there's this great scene in 1 Kings where Solomon dedicates and prays for the temple. And when he does those things, look at verse 10, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10, 1 Kings 8 and verse 10. We know what happened in the tent of meeting. What happens in the physical tabernacle? Same thing. And when the priests came out of the holy place, and where they had deposited the Ark of the Covenant, when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. How wonderful. How comforting to know that God has set His approval, His sign, His seal on His people. That He dwells there in reality. And you may think to yourself, well, we can never have that. We can never see the physical representation of God. We can never come together and worship with God with us in that way. Is that true? Let me tell you something. When we come together as God's people today, we may not see the physical glory in the way that they did in the Old Testament, but God is with us and we see His glory when we sing those songs and we praise His name. And when the people of Clarksville, Tennessee see us living together, black and white, old and young, Republican and Democrat, whatever the differences are, they see us loving and forgiving and bearing with one another as Christ and God forgave us. They see the glory of God. And He lets it be known that I am with this people. Christian, we have it. When we came together this morning, God was with us. God was in us individually and as a group. He is with His people. But there always has to be a dramatic moment in a good sermon, in a good story, in a good movie. It can't all be roses because bad things happen. There's something else that we learn about the presence of God. When we sin and we leave God, God will leave us. This is exactly what happened to the people of Israel. They left God. God left them. If you've got your Bible, turn over to Ezekiel chapter 11. I know we're kind of putting you through your paces in the Old Testament today. Of course, for those of you who are just looking up on electronic, I guess there's no real difference. You're not thumbing through the prophets. Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel was taken in the first round of captivity, and he is in Babylonian captivity for about 10 years, and he's looking back, and God is prophesying through him to Judah. To Jerusalem still stands, the temple still stands, and God is telling him that even though his temple stands, he's had enough. And God is going to leave the people of Israel and allow them to be captured. If you have time to go read this scene, it really begins in chapter 10 and carries through chapter 11. Have you read Ezekiel's scene about the whirling wheels and the beasts with eyes all around? The kingdom of God, the throne of God. If you've never read that scene, please do, because that's a continuation of what's going on here. So in Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 22, God is leaving. Just as His presence came to the people of Israel with the tent of meeting, just as God's presence came with the temple of Solomon, He's now about to leave. Ezekiel 11, verse 22. Ezekiel 11 and verse 22. It says, then the cherubim lifted up their wings and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood on the mountain that was on the east side of the city. And the Spirit lifted me up, brought me in the vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea to the exiles. Then the vision that I had seen went up for me, and I told the exiles all the things that the Lord had shown me. What Ezekiel sees is God leaves the temple. God leaves Jerusalem. They are no longer His people. He is no longer their God. It is over. The book of Ephesians tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit for the same exact reason. Christian, have you named Jesus Christ as your Lord? Are you serving Him faithfully every day? Are you walking in faith? Good. Are you continuing in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Because if you keep rebelling against God and you serve other gods and you do not put the Lord your God first, He will leave you just as He did the people of Israel in Ezekiel chapter 11. But there's always good news after the bad news. Because God says there's coming a time. Now, it didn't occur for over 500 years. We're talking about 600 B.C., somewhere along those lines, 580 B.C., Jesus was not born for almost 600 years. God's Spirit did not dwell with His people in that entire time. But God prophesied through Ezekiel that there was coming a time when He would. When He would return in His glory. In that same chapter, back up to verse 17. So it's still in Ezekiel chapter 11. Look at verse 17. Ezekiel 11 and 17. And verse 20. God is going to make a promise that is fulfilled for you and I. Therefore say, thus says the Lord, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries where you've been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And when they come here, they will remove from it all its detestable things and all its abominations. And I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Christian, that's a reality for you and I. God has come to us. He lives with us. His presence is with His people. He is our God. We are His people. We are blessed. The promises of Ezekiel came true on the day of Pentecost. Even though we're sinful, we can be cleansed. And God can come to dwell with us because we are the temple. When would God gather His people? Isaiah speaks of the same thing. Look at Isaiah 44. We so often think in Acts chapter 2 of Joel chapter 2, as well we should, because that's the place that's quoted by Peter there. But that's not the only place that the Spirit of God is promised to the people. That His return to dwell with His people is promised in the Bible. Look at Isaiah 44 and verse 3. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. For I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. The same Spirit of God, the same presence of God that disappeared from the temple would return. Jesus would give it. It's Jesus who gives the Spirit. It's Jesus whose blood forgives. It is in you that God dwells today. So God says He's going to pour out like water on the thirsty ground. He's going to pour out His Spirit on His people. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 33. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, here Peter's referring to Jesus, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He, that's Jesus, has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. The Spirit of who? Spirit of Jehovah God is given to everyone who believes. That's why Peter says what he does in Acts chapter 2, 38, right? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the giver of the Spirit, and you will receive the forgiveness of sins. Excuse me, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It makes so much sense now when we look back and we say, Moses says, Lord, I can't go on without you. I won't go on without you. And they build that tabernacle, and God says, I'm with you. And He comes and He dwells in such a way that it forces the priest from the tent. And the same thing occurs at Solomon's time. And then we see that tear-stained scene in Ezekiel where God leaves His people and they are left alone. And then we see the triumphant scene where God comes to live with His forgiven people. And it's like water on dry ground. The presence of God, the favor of God is with us today. You are the temple. Individually and together, where the Spirit of God dwells. What a blessing. Two verses in 1 Corinthians, one of which I'm assuming you're familiar with, one of you may not be as familiar. I'm assuming, I say this because I use this verse a lot, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, talking about the idea of the true sinfulness of sexual immorality for the Christian. Look at what Paul says here about us being tabernacles. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, and this is an individual reference. There is a sense in Scripture where the church is referred to as the tabernacle, and there is a sense in which the individual is referred to. This is the individual. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, or do you not know that your body, so here this is the individual reference, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Just as God came to live with the people of Israel in a physical tabernacle, He dwells with us in the physical tabernacle of our body. That should both chill you and thrill you. Because God knows. God is with us. God sees. He comforts. He strengthens. He seals. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, and referring to the church now, Paul makes the same analogy. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you, and here he's referring to the church, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. This is a great caution to any who would divide the church. Make sure you check your motives and ask yourself, is what I'm doing the best thing for the work of the Lord at North 2nd Street? Because if it's not, God sees and God knows. You would never think of going up to the Temple of Solomon and knocking it down, of spraying graffiti on it, of tearing it up, of destroying it. Of course you would not. Why would you ever think of the great, glorious tabernacle of the church of God any differently? The same God that left Israel because they left Him has come to us when we submit to Him. When we put faith in His Son. Jesus gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey. To those who in faith obey Him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Drives this point home. This is our sign out front has a remnant of this verse on it. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. This idea is brought together of the Spirit of God dwelling with His people, of the church being the tabernacle of God, and of us completely understanding that. I say all the time, what a difference it would make. We talk about this. You've heard me give lessons on the scripture reading and how seriously we should take it. And I say, what happened if God were to come back and peel back this roof and this ceiling and speak directly to us? Do you think we'd get up and go to the bathroom? Silly thing to say, right? Christian, God dwells here. He dwells with you in your individual body, in your tabernacle day by day. And when we come together, we are building the power of God and the Spirit of God gathered together in this one place should thrill us and fill us. Be not drunk with wine, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, but be filled with the Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and physical and spiritual songs. That should come out of us, the glory of God. Ephesians 2, 18, if you would read it with us, please. For through Him, this is through Christ, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. I love these Trinitarian verses. This is one of them. Notice how Jesus, the Son, Jesus, God, the Father, and the Spirit are mentioned all in the same verse. Through Him, Jesus, we both have access in one Holy Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Listen here. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you also are being built together in a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Every time we come together, that becomes a reality. Are we aware of it? Are we grateful for it? Do we pray about it? Do we feel the nearness of God? God is here. As real as if His glory were to force us from this building because of the power of it. Do you know why God can dwell with you, Christian? Because you've been cleansed. Because you stand in grace. Because you are forgiven. Because God is with His people. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. This is our last verse. See, Mitch, it didn't take that long. But we had to get done. Moses said, Lord, I can't go on. I won't even think of taking a step toward the promised land without you. God says, I'll be with you. God enters that tent of meeting. He enters the temple. He shows he's with the people of God. When the people of God leave him, God leaves them. What a horrifying scene that God raises up out of the temple and leaves the threshold and crosses over and leaves the people of God defenseless. And the Babylonians come in and they burn the city and they destroy the temple and they tear apart the people of God. And God has no nation and he has no people for 600 years. But oh, Christian, like water on a dry land, the Spirit of God is coming. Hebrews chapter 8. I was trying. I actually did this sermon with ending it in Ephesians 2 and ending it with Hebrews 8. And I decided on Hebrews 8 because of the forgiveness that's entailed here. God makes this wonderful promise to the Israelites that if they enter into covenant relationship with him, he will be their God and they will be his people. And he will fight their battles and he will give them the land of Canaan. Do you know that, Christian, you enter into a covenant with God just as well, with the same promises, only better. The same promised land, only better. The same presence of God, only better. Hebrews 8, you probably have heard this verse used in the context of talking about the difference between the Old and New Covenant. And it's a great place to study that. But I want us to think for just a moment about the blessings of the presence of God. Verse 10, Hebrews 8 and verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. By the way, we are spiritual Israel. The physical Israel of today means nothing. The spiritual Israel of those who have faith in Christ Jesus, this is what is being referred to here. I will put my laws into their minds, write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. God is coming. Are you converted in heart? Have you become Christ-like? Do you have the Spirit of Christ in you? We're studying the Sermon on the Mount in our Wednesday night Bible study. Do those Beatitudes describe who you are in spirit? If you're converted and you are that way in spirit, do you know what law you need? None. It's written on your heart. We are the people of God, like God, filled with God, in the presence of God. We are the individual tabernacle. Together we are being built up into a holy house, indwelled by the Spirit of God. I'm leaving that last verse. If you're in your text, you see it, you're like, why isn't he reading that last verse? It's so good. That's why I'm saving it to last. Does God dwell with you today? He only does if you've come to faith in His Son. The Spirit of God that was poured out in Acts chapter 2 was for those who had faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, resurrected, ascended to live forevermore, gone to prepare a place in heaven for me. That's faith. Do you have enough faith to do what He says, regardless of what your will says? Will you enter into a covenant relationship? When I enter into a covenant with God, it's God who makes the rules. God sets the terms. God gives the promises. God is faithful to His covenant. Will I enter into covenant relationship and will I be faithful? Israel did and then did not. They agreed to the covenant. Then they didn't abide by the terms. And God left. The question this morning is this, twofold. If you've been a Christian and you've given your way into sin and you've fallen away from the Lord, has the Spirit departed from you today? Can it be said that God is with you today, or has Ezekiel seen the Spirit of God leave you? If you're not a Christian, God's not on your side. He's not with you. He doesn't know. He does know. But does He dwell with you? Are you forgiven? Are you cleansed? Can you be comfortable where God is? The last verse, please. This is a quote from Jeremiah 31, verse 12. God says, during this period of the new covenant, I will be their God, I will be their people. I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Praise God. We have such a great salvation. He comes to dwell with those who've been cleansed. So have you been cleansed? Right? Acts 22:16 echoes what Peter says. Why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized, washing away your sins and calling on the name of the Lord. When you've been cleansed, when that temple has been taken, every evil and every abomination has been pulled out of your temple and you've been cleansed, God will come to live with you and people will see the glory of God as you shout down the street. If we can help you in any way, please come forward as we stand and we sing.